Good evening. I count it a privilege to stay in this pulpit as we have received God's word from our pastor and many others who have ministered to us. And I would like to take a text tonight. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 9, I will preach to my text, not especially from my text, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. 4, you find that in front of quite a number of passages of Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's a word that puts emphasis to what is to follow. For, most assuredly, you can put your faith in what is about to be said. And this is being said by the Apostle Paul. He started 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, and gave us a wonderful promise about if we put off this body. The Lord has prepared for us a body not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So there is a real meaning in the little words sometimes in the Bible, because they're just inspired by God, as maybe some of the longer words are more difficult words to pronounce, and they have a very important place. And this little word for has an important place here because of what follows it, where the Apostle Paul is writing and he says, a great door. We are inspired by the Holy Spirit as well as others. And so tonight this is addressed to us also. I hope that we who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are conscious of the fact that God has a great door for each and every one of us. We should be so related to him in our lives that we would be conscious of the great door. You may not know exactly where it's going to lead you. Maybe where it leads you even tomorrow might surprise you. But if he's leading you, it's not anything to be concerned with or worried about. Why is this called a great door? Because it's controlled by God. You can't get anything greater than God. When he opens the door is open. Turn with me over to the book of Revelation, where the church at Philadelphia is addressed. And the Lord Jesus Christ says in the 8th verse of the 3rd chapter, I know, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that is has the key of David, and that openeth, no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. So this is a great door that was opened to the Church of Philadelphia, and a word of admonition and warning. Don't let anybody try to shut God's door, because God has opened the door. And we as Christians, if we are walking in the will of God and are bearing testimony to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have nothing to fear, because God has opened the door. But you'll notice what he says here, a truth that we all need to understand: thou hast a little strength. There's no room in God's plan, in God's open door, for someone that thinks they have the ability in and of themselves. You know, the flesh often gets in the way of each and every one of us. And it is as important as knowing who opens the door is the fact that we have a little strength, and we must depend upon him for our strength. And the reason he is given is because thou hast kept my word. I'm thankful that we are here in assembly that stands for the truth of God's word. Word comes from our pastor, our assistant pastors, our Sunday school teachers, and we can always be ready to invite people to come and sit under the word of God. And he says of this church at Philadelphia, and hast not denied my name. A great commission comes from a risen Lord and Savior who fulfilled his Father's will. I'm so thankful that he fulfilled his Father's will. And he came to earth and he paid the great price on the cross of Calvary in our behalf. And so only a spiritual awakening in this nation of ours. And as the pastor has reminded us, we have an election coming. We should approach that time prayerfully. And we should approach that time knowing the issues and standing for those who are going to stand for the right principles. And now the door is open. This is the hour today, the day of salvation. And they are our future force. Look at Matthew, if you would please, with me. Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, when he saw the multitude, what took place? He was moved with compassion. Let me ask you a question. When you consider the culture which has evolved in our country, and we see the multitude of people who are in spiritual darkness and going to hell, does it move us with compassion? We should have compassionate hearts. We should feel sorry for those who are lost and maybe who have offended us personally. You know, our flesh is to strike back, but our spirit should be one that, oh, that man or that woman or that young person is in spiritual darkness. That's why he is conducting himself in this way, and sometimes even personally attacking you or me. So you'll notice he was moved with compassion because they fainted They were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And what did the Savior say? He saith unto his disciples, and it's good for us who are disciples today, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I believe that's true of the great harvest that's out here. I'm thankful for our emphasis upon world evangelism. May we never let it falter in any respect. The harvest is great, but there are very few laborers. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let us go through the doors of God's will here and pray that they will continue to go through the doors of God's harvest field, wherever they may be. And I received a message tonight where a man over in Africa, missionary, was caught in a crossfire and a bullet went through his head. These are out in the other parts of the field, need our prayers, and we need more volunteers. And my question is, who will take his place? And let us pray, of course, for his families. God's door is great because God's doors work. We don't need to have any question about a door that opens to us by the Lord. No man can open one of those doors, and no man can close any of those doors. God is sovereign. Sometimes we lose the understanding of the sovereignty of God. And there is a Baptist church in India. Their vision is to plant 1,000 new churches. And they already have planted 200. And we should have a similar vision, not only for our field here in America, but think of China. And we know there's quite some favorable things going on even in China. The world and Satan can't put God's light out. Amen. Why is this door great? Because it's open now. Nobody or no generation has the opportunities to evangelize that we have today. Think of the opportunities that are given to us to take the gospel to the world. And all of the things that are made at our discretion to go forth with the gospel. And think of the spiritual light, the technology, the transportation, and the facilities. Romania now. And I remember what it was before. Approach the entry, and they say, do you have any Bibles? I had my Bible, and I told them I had the Bible. And later, God so ordered things in Romania that I went into Romania another time and a man had a whole box full of Bibles. And the man at the entrance says, do you have any Bibles? He said, yes, I've got a box full of Bibles. He says, oh, good, I'd like to have one. And another man heard him. He said, my son would like to have a Bible. And on it went right there at the entrance to Romania, where before you hardly even wanted to breathe about your own Bible. You see, God opens doors, even though there are many adversaries. But you know, our greatest adversary is our own flesh. We have to deal with the flesh, I guess I could say 24 hours a day. We even have bad dreams sometimes. But we must move onward. Many adversaries. Personal ambition. Money. Is there a lottery going on now that I've heard about? Money. Money. Money is a driving factor in many lives. Personal ambition. And I got a report a while back, it has been now, that Bible colleges and people asking for admission in Bible colleges has gone down. And some Bible colleges no longer exist. Onward. Let us move onward. You know, the devil, outward. Let's not forget that he has ambition for each one of our lives. And Satan and those under his domain. There's a compromise in many places with false religions, religious systems. I received a notice that they're no longer going to call themselves the Mormons. They don't want to be called Mormons anymore. That's a subtle move, because that's a false religious movement. And they'll make any movement. State religions, Orthodox, Romanism, they began early when the gospel was going forth, setting up religious systems that were antichrist. So we can expect opposition. Let's focus on the open door. For unto, what did Paul say? He said, for unto me, for a great door and effectual is open unto me. Even though there are many adversaries. So what must we focus on? Personal. Me. You young people, focus on God's will for you. Don't take it lightly. Don't make bad decisions in your youth that you'll pay for in later years. That happens to so many. And the door of salvation. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. There's nothing to be concerned with. We are his sheep. He is the shepherd. And so, it's personal. It's singular, optional, knowledgeable, nurturing, and can be liberating to realize that the door is open for you and for me. I'm a veteran of World War II. Quite some time ago, There were only 6 million still living, but 31,000 World War II veterans die every month. Generations. It's hard for me to believe. The generation I'm living in at 92 is fast going away. I correspond with a missionary on Hokkaido, up on Sapporo, right at the top of Hokkaido, Bob Klutz. He's a single man. His wife died. And I keep correspondence with him. I do that purposefully, even if it's just to say, hello, it's raining today, you know. And you say, well, why? He sent me a letter the other day that said, Wayne, keep writing to me. You're the last person living that has been corresponding with me. I'm sure he must feel lonely, and yet he speaks with a voice of victory. Someone has said my ministerial class of 1,100 is now less than 500. So, beloved ones, we need to take this verse to our heart, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. May we take to heart the commission God has given to us. Heavenly Father, take the few words that this stammering tongue has spoken and use it in my own heart. And I pray it might bring forth fruit in the hearts of those who have heard. And may we together reach our community and reach our world and reach our nation with the gospel. I pray, Heavenly Father, that thou wilt guide us as citizens and cast our votes in the right way according to your leadership. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I got a notice, or my daughter, I guess, got the notice. It says the people in our community who have voted right or have been voting and not missing any time of voting. And it says A, B, C, put names. And I want you to know this old man got an A+. Why? Because I voted every time.
Pastor David, if you'd come mic up. What an honor.
Amen.
What an honor. Tonight we're going to experience something that I think I could say. Brother Larry, how old are you? 81. We're going to experience something tonight that around the world, I don't think any church around the world is going to experience what we're going to experience here tonight. We're going to hear and have heard from a 92-year-old man of God, and an 81-year-old man of God in the same service. Now, you think about that for a moment. Dr. Thompson standing here saying, I'm a World War II veteran. I tell you, that's something. We are privileged. We're honored to have these men and other good men in our congregation. I can't tell you how it humbles me. It humbles me. And I pray to God that it would humble these young men in our service. And that you would get around these men and glean from them. Time is short. You glean from them. Thank you, Dr. Thompson. Good message from the Word of God to remind us God is opening doors. We hear a lot of people talking about all the doors shutting. Well, God shuts doors, but now don't forget, He opens doors too. God opens doors too. I'm glad God shuts doors, but God opens doors too. And I'm thankful for the reminder. Thank you, Dr. Thompson. What an honor. I'm going to ask Pastor David to come. He's going to preach. And then right after that, I'm going to ask y'all to come and sing a song. And then we'll ask Brother Emboden to come. And so after he gets through, Brother Emboden, you make your way up here. And we'll get you mic'd up while they're singing. Okay, Pastor David?
Amen. Well, I just want to say, as the pastor said, what an honor. Wow. I just, that was a blessing. And I sure do appreciate it. And I don't know. God ministered to me. And so I appreciate you, Dr. Thompson, and the best has challenged my heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm going to get my text. I'm going to go ahead and try to hurry here and give you what God's laid on my heart. I'll be honest, I really feel, I don't know what I feel, but I feel inadequate. That's what I feel between such men of God speaking tonight. But I also feel privileged and thankful. And so, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to share something I share with our young people. I've been preaching a series on Wednesday nights to our youth group. And so those of you that are in the youth group, this is just a reminder for you. But I've been preaching a series to our young people on, do you appreciate your pastor? And it's Pastor Appreciation Month, so to speak. And so with that thought, I preached a series of messages to our young people on, do you appreciate your pastor? And I told them, and I'll tell you tonight, if I were to ask that question, I believe that probably almost everyone, if I were to ask you that question, do you appreciate your pastor, would without doubt say yes. I just believe that. I believe we'd all would say yes. But I got to say, I believe that actions speak louder than words. And so it's one thing to say we appreciate our pastor, but it's another thing to actually live it. And so I want to share just a part of the series that I share with our young people. And I told Brother Allen that a couple weeks ago when I shared this, I said I'd almost love to share this with the entire church. And then lo and behold, I got a chance, Brother Allen. And so I tried to go in another direction, but I felt like, you know what, I told God if I got an opportunity, I was going to share it. And so that's what I'm going to do tonight. I'll say this, nothing I'm going to share with you tonight is original of mine. I actually heard a man preach about some of these thoughts I'm going to share tonight. And it just so spoke to my heart that I put some thoughts with it and I shared it with our young people, and I want to share it with you tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let me hurry. Look at verse number 11. It says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And verse 13 says, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. This verse here says that we are to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And I don't have time to go into the definition of these words, but there's a lot in these verses of scripture right here. It says to know them which labor among you. That means to acknowledge them, to realize some things about them. And then it says to esteem them. That means to put a value upon them. When you esteem them, that means you put a value upon them. And so I want to preach tonight just for a couple minutes on, do you appreciate your pastor? Do you appreciate your pastor? And if you would say, yes, I appreciate my pastor, but how can I show it? I want to give you one thought tonight, and as I said, this is a part of a series. But the first thing I would say, if you do appreciate your pastor, I'd say this, you ought to pray for him. You ought to pray for him. You know, it's easy for us to say, I appreciate my pastor. And as I shared this with our young people, God just really spoke to my heart. And I tell you, I appreciate my pastor. But you know, it's easy to say it with my lips. But do I live it with my life? Do I pray for him? Look at verse number 25. It says, Paul the apostle, and I was amazed when I saw some of the things I'm going to show you tonight. Verse 25, Paul the apostle writing to the church here at Thessalonica. Look what he says to him. He says, brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. You're going to see that over and over throughout my couple minutes here tonight. The apostle Paul, the great preacher, maybe the pastor, so to speak, a pastor's pastor, actually, so to speak, constantly was saying to people, pray for me. Pray for me. And I want to challenge you tonight, church, as God's challenged me, and I hope God continues to challenge me. If we appreciate our pastor, it's Pastor Appreciation Month, and I do believe I'm speaking to a group of people that appreciate their pastor, but if we really appreciate our pastor, I believe we ought to pray for him. I really believe we ought to pray for him. And I want to give you a couple ways that I believe we could pray for him. I did write down this quote that I read. Charles Spurgeon was asked one time, what was the secret to the great Metropolitan Tabernacle that he pastored? What was the secret to their success? And Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, my people pray for me. He said, my people pray for me. Can I tell you, hey, one of our biggest responsibilities as a church is to pray for our pastor. And I want to share with you some thoughts about how you can pray for him. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 real quick. Ephesians chapter number 6. I'm not the best sword drill person here, but I'm getting there. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at verse number 18, the first way that I think we can pray for our pastor. Chapter 6, verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And verse 19 says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So Paul, writing to the church here in Ephesus, says, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then he says, hey, and me. Paul said, don't forget me. Don't forget the preacher. Don't forget the pastor. You know, if we're not careful, I think sometimes, and I tell you, whew, this time's flying by on me. If we're not careful sometimes, we'll take the things that mean the most to us for granted. When I was preaching to our young people, I was talking about our freedoms. I was talking about our country. I was talking about our church. If we're not careful, we'll take it for granted. We're part of a great church. We got great men of God. We just heard from a 92-year-old man of God. And that's a regular thing in this church. And if we're not careful, we'll take it for granted. We'll just kind of get complacent, and we'll get ungrateful for the things that God does for us. And I think we can be that way in our families, and we can be that way in our church, and we can be that way with our preacher. And I want to challenge you tonight. Hey, don't take it for granted. Paul said, hey, pray for me. He said, pray for me. What, Paul? For me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. My first point about this is, hey, we need to pray for our pastor as he prepares to preach. We need to pray for our pastor as he prepares to preach. It's so important. When was the last time you prayed for the pastor in his preparation of his sermons? That ought to be a regular thing in our prayer life. God, use our preacher as he prepares to preach. Paul said, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. Can I tell you, only preachers would understand this, but there is such a burden, there is such a weight carried with preaching the word of God. And every time I preach, every time I get the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit on a Sunday morning, every time without fail, God reminds me of the load that's carrying when you stand behind this pulpit right here. And God reminds me, I need to pray for my preacher. I know when I'm preaching on the fifth Sunday and I'm going to stand before this congregation, I mean, hey, I want somebody praying for me. And so every time God reminds me, hey, you want somebody praying for you, you ought to pray for him. Three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, he stands behind the pulpit and preaches the word of God. Are we praying for him? We need to pray for the preacher as he prepares to preach. He said, Paul said, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. He's an ambassador representing God's kingdom, and he needs prayer. You know, I said this to our young people, and I'll say it to you. You know, sometimes we might leave church, and Pastor, forgive me for this, but hey, I'm human. We all have done this. I told our young people, they probably do it on a regular basis with me. Sometimes we leave church and we say, you know, I don't know. I think preacher was struggling today. You know? Or I'm the only one that says that. Okay. But whatever. You know, I think the teacher, let's say the teacher, right? The preacher. So I don't know. I know God, that message just wasn't my favorite, you know? Did you pray for it? Did you pray for it? It's easy. It's easy to sit right here and say, man, I don't know. Preacher wasn't on it today. You know, I've heard him preach better before. Did you pray for him? Did I pray for him? I'll tell you this, when we're praying for our pastor, for some reason, it's just like, you know, when I preached this to our young people a couple weeks ago, God really spoke to me, and I tell you, I was praying for the pastor. And you know what? That Sunday morning, I came into church, I told Brother Allen, I said, Sunday morning is Sunday night. I sat right there, and I couldn't even explain it. While the preacher was preaching, I just had tears running down my cheeks. I don't even know why I was crying. But God was speaking to me. You know, maybe the reason God doesn't speak to you is because you're not praying for the preacher. Why don't you try praying for the preacher every day, saying, God, use our preacher as he prepares to preach. I bet it'll change the way you receive the sermon. We ought to pray for the preacher as he prepares to preach. Number two, and I got to hurry. Number two, we ought to pray for his protection. Turn to Romans chapter 15. We ought to pray for our preacher's preparation. We also ought to pray for his preparation. Protection. I don't even know what I'm saying. Amen. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, look at verse number 30. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Here we are again, the Apostle Paul, the man of God, the church planner, the missionary, the preacher, the pastor of pastors, the Apostle Paul. Look at what he says in verse number 30. He said, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Paul again is saying, pray for me. Pray for me. The great Apostle Paul is saying, hey, church, pray for me. What, Paul? For protection. He said that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Can I tell you, the man of God's got enemies. The man of God has got enemies. There are people in this community that would love to see this preacher fall. The devil would love to see this man of God fall. Because he knows how many churches, the group of people that are sitting here tonight, how many of us know of churches that have just been split because a man of God failed? How many of us know of Christians that are out of church tonight, and if you were to talk to them, if you were to witness to them, if you were to try to encourage them, the first thing they're going to tell you about is a man of God that failed? We ought to be praying for his protection. Every day we ought to be praying, God, protect my pastor. God, there's people that would love to see him fall. God, there's an enemy that would love to destroy him. God, please, would you protect my pastor? So we ought to pray for his preparation. We ought to pray for his protection. Number three, we ought to pray for his problems. Philippians chapter number 1. Can I tell you, preachers have problems? Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, Paul said, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul here is in prison. Paul is sitting in a prison, and he's writing a letter to the church at Philippi, and he's saying, hey, I know God's going to do something because you guys in Philippi are praying for me. You see, the Apostle Paul was in a predicament. He had a problem. He was in a prison, and he said, hey, you need to be praying for me. Can I tell you, preachers have problems too? Our pastor has problems. And we need to be praying for him. See, the preacher's always here for everybody else's problems. And the preacher's always there to help with our problems. But can I tell you, he has problems too, and we need to pray for him. Pray for his preparation. Pray for his protection. Pray for him for the problems that he deals with. Not just his problems, but the problems of others. Our pastor is constantly dealing with problems. And we need to pray for him. Number four, and my time's almost up. We need to pray for him. Colossians chapter 4. I'll just go through these really quickly. Colossians chapter 4. Look at verse 2. The Apostle Paul again, writing to the church at Colossae, he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And he says this, with all praying also for us. You see this? Paul is constantly asking the churches that he's writing to, hey, pray for me. Pray for me. I need your prayers. He said, pray with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. I put here, pray for him that he would have power. Pray that he would have power. Paul said, praying for us that God would open, here's that that we just heard, open unto us a door of utterance. Pray for him that God would give him power to witness. Our pastor needs our prayers to have God's power to witness. I thought I was preaching this, and when I was preaching it right then, the pastor was preaching a funeral, and I was thinking about what an opportunity, what an open door to witness. And I need to be praying for him. As he goes to the hospital to visit people and meet nurses and meet doctors and meet family members, and as he preaches funerals and he's out in the community and as he's going about his daily routine, we ought to be praying, God, give my pastor power to be a witness. He's a preacher. He gets all kinds of opportunities. People know he's a pastor. People call on him to preach funerals, to do weddings, to counsel, to help. And as he does these things, we need to be praying as a church, God, give our preacher power to witness. Paul said, hey, pray for me. Pray for us also that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. Pray for power. Pray for him to produce fruit. I'm out of time. Go back to Romans chapter 15 real quick. Romans 15. I'll just show you these last two and I'll finish. Paul said in Romans 15, he said, we saw where he said, striving together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Paul said, pray that my service will be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and that ye may be with you, and with you be refreshed. I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians. Turn to 1 Thessalonians real quick. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul said in verse number 1, Finally, brethren, Paul said, hey, let me tell you something that's real important here. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Paul said, hey, God's word has changed you. Pray that God's word would change somebody else. We need to pray that our pastor would be able to produce fruit as God has used him to change your life and to change my life and to change our lives through the preaching of God's word week after week after week after week. Hey, we need to pray that God would use him to change somebody else's life. Pray that God would use him to produce fruit. And then last, pray that God would be with him in his personal life. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18, and I'll read the verse and I'll be done. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18. Paul said this, obey them that have the rule over you in verse 17, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. In verse 18, look at what Paul says again. Well, we could argue about Paul being the writer of Hebrews, but I'm just going to say Paul. He said, pray for us. Pray for us. You say, why do you think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews? Maybe because every other letter that he wrote, he said, hey, pray for us. And at the end of this letter, Paul said, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Pray for his personal life. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, I preached another message to our young people about our pastor, and one of my points was, realize that he's a person. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll think the pastor's some superhuman. Hey, he needs our prayers. We ought to pray that God be with our pastor in his personal life. Say, God, help our pastor as he reads his Bible and as he prays and as he walks with you. God, please just keep your hand upon our pastor. God, protect his personal life. Pray for his family. This is where Mariah gave me a hard time, because one of the teenagers told Mariah that that I didn't like her. But I didn't say that. I told them that me and Mariah have a love-hate relationship. We love to hate one another. I was just playing. No, I love Mariah, and I always mess around with that. But I said, you know what? Hey, some of you say, well, I might not get along with Mariah. I might not get along with Marcus. I might not get along with Meredith. I might not get along with Michael. I might not, you know, whatever. Hey, you ought to pray for them. They're the pastor's children. You want people praying for your children? You ought to pray for his children. He's the preacher. Pray for his personal life. Hey, pray for the pastor. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Good message. Pastor David. I don't get along with them either, brother. I'm going to ask them to come and sing at this time. And Brother Embolden, if you'd come up, and Brother Corey's going to help you up. Brother Embolden, we'll get you mic'd up. Good messages, amen? Good Bible preaching, that's what we need. That's good for what ails us. Right after they sing, Brother Embolden's going to come. Pastor Embolden, we appreciate Brother Larry.
How could the God of heaven love a helpless soul like mine? Why would the great I am send his only son to die? The price he paid for my sin was much too high a cost. But Jesus came and found me and loved me to the cross. He came to me, now my blinded eyes can see. He forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see, he came to me. Why would he want to come down, leaving heaven's throne? The earth and all within it could have made his glory known. Yet he saw a worthless sinner and redeemed me through his love. I don't have to know the answers, for I'm covered by the blood. He came to me, now my blinded eyes can see. He forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see, he came to me. Change my everything. What a joy I've been given. It's a new life I'm living as a child of the King. He came to me, now my blinded eyes can see. He forgave, set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see, he forgave and set this prisoner free. Jesus came down and found me. He came to me.
Okay, thank you, preacher. It's an honor to be in your pulpit. Thank you so much for that, and what great messages we've already heard, amen, about the effectual door and praying for our pastor. I like that. So I got just a few minutes here. I want to share something with you from the Word of God. If you take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 24, I'll read a couple of verses and then have a word of prayer, and I'll get right into the text here this evening. I've entitled it, Let's Take a Walk, and focus on Jesus. Let's take a walk and focus on Jesus. Look at verse number 13, Luke chapter 24, verse number 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for this good pastor. Thank you for the privilege he's given us tonight to speak in his behalf. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight to just be a blessing and a help to these dear folks here. And I'll thank and praise you in advance for what you're going to do in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let me tell you a little story about this. This is Resurrection Morn, and the crucifixion was 3 days ago. And you're all familiar with this passage of Scripture here. It's like these men were not a men. I think they were really a couple. It mentions in verse number 18 that Cleophas there, and I believe it was a man and his wife, that were walking to Emmaus here. And so as they were having a conversation, they were thinking about what happened at Calvary. We ought to think about that a lot. Jesus paid his life so we could live. Thank the Lord for Calvary. Never get over that. And so as they were talking along the road there and the conversation that they were having, thinking about what happened. In the first part of the verses there, it says the ladies went to the tomb early in the morning. They found the stone rolled away and Jesus was missing. Later on, Peter went there, and he noticed that the clothes were put in order. And so he knew it wasn't a robbery, I'm sure. He knew it was something more than that. And the angels appeared unto the ladies, and that scared them to death, so to speak. And they fell down on their faces, and the angel said, "Didn't he tell you that he was going to do this? In 3 days, he was going to rise again? Didn't he give you that message from the heart?" And suddenly they realized that that report was true. Amen. He did say that. And they told those dear folks, "He's not here, but he's risen." Amen. Thank the Lord for that. So this was heavy on the minds of this couple as they were on their road to Emmaus. So I want you to see, first of all, the conversation of the couple there. And they talked together of the events that had happened at Calvary in Jerusalem just 3 days ago. This was the first Easter Sunday morning. Get that in your mind. It was Sunday afternoon. And the only thing on their mind was what happened at Calvary. And so as they talked and reasoned together, Jesus shows up in their midst. What a wonderful thing that is. I believe if we spent more time talking about the Lord, reading his word, praying to him, and asking God to help us, we would get more answers to prayer. We get more feelings of God working in our life than we currently do. And I thank the Lord. So they were on their way to Emmaus, the Bible says, 60 furlongs away, not a far distance, 7.5 miles. So they could walk that in just a little time. But as they were talking together, the Bible says, their total conversation was about what happened to Jesus. I'm afraid so oftentimes in our conversation, we spent 0.1% of the time talking about Jesus and 99.9% talking about something else. We need to talk more about Jesus. We need to ask him to help us in our life, to give us direction and wisdom for our life. God wants to help us. And as you're going to see down the road a little bit later here, you see this Savior's closeness. Look at verse number 15. It says, "It came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." Isn't it wonderful that Jesus can be near to us? You know, he's near to us right here in this room. It says we're two or more gathered together in his name. He's in their midst. Do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus is near? I believe he's right here with us this evening here in this church on Wisdom Wednesdays. I asked the preacher, what do you tell you? You want me to give a testimony or what? He said, "No, just preach." So that's kind of what I'm doing here tonight. So we see the Savior's closeness here, how he communed and said reason together. That reason together is kind of a homiletic term. We learned that in Bible college. It means to give sense to the passage. Thank God we got a preacher that does that. He doesn't play around with a lot of illustrations and things like that. He gives sense to the Word of God. And so that's what they were trying to figure out. What happened? Who did it? Where'd he go? That's all they were talking about, the things that happened to Jesus. And I would say to you, oftentimes we need to understand that when you're talking with Jesus and you're walking, Jesus is always near to you and can help you in your life. Thank God he draws near to us in our difficult and trying situations of life. Thank God as we meditate and pray to God and ask him to help us with our life. I believe he can help us. I know he can help us. He's helped me. Talking about the effectual door. Dr. Thompson was. My wife, I just recently put in a mental institution, memory care center, they call it. It'd be 3 months ago on the 28th that I did that. That was a difficult time for me. But you know what God did? I was feeling kind of down in the dumps. Didn't know what to do. But the second time I visited my wife, they say, I understand you're a preacher. I said, yes, I am. They said, do you mind doing the devotions on Thursday? We need someone to come in and speak to these dear folks. So since that time, I've preached 10 messages to those dear folks at the Harbor, that memory care center. The second time I went there, there was a room about 24. They said, hey, when you're done here, could you go to the next facility and preach to those folks here? And I've been doing that for 10 weeks. That's an effectual door God opened for this preacher. You know what he did? He took my mind off of my problems, got me focused back in the Word of God, and God did a miracle in my life. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. So thank the Lord. The Lord's close to us, and he does open doors for us. Number three, see the Savior's concealment. Look at verse number 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Mark mentions that he took on a different appearance, maybe disguised himself. I don't know what he did, and I'm not going to get into that. But one thing we know, as Jesus spoke with this couple, their eyes were holden. That means they were restrained. They were continually restrained. They didn't know it was Jesus. Now, why was that? Because he wanted to get their attention. And if they knew what was going on, they would probably focus more on him and not what he was going to say. Later on, the Bible says that Moses, he opened up the scriptures and preached the word of God to them. So he wanted their eyes to be open. You know what I thought about that? Sometimes this preacher wants to teach us some things. And it'd be good for us if we didn't have too many distractions. Because I think God wants to speak to someone in this church every time the services are held. Do you believe that? I believe the message from this man of God is for someone in this building. What's sad to see so oftentimes, the person maybe that wasn't here needed the message the most, preacher, and they missed the Word of God, the nearness of God on their life. Thank God that you're here this evening. Thank God that we have the opportunity to listen and understand the Word of God. So we see number four, the Savior's concern. Look at verse number 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one with another as you walk and are so sad? So he gave two questions there. He says, number one, what are you talking about? Let me say this. You think Jesus knows what we're talking about? Amen. He knows everything about us. He's got a record book on all of us. Now, I'm not talking about a police record. I'm talking about a record of all the things we say, the places we go, the words that we say, the thoughts that we have. God's keeping a record, and his record is accurate. And one day we're going to stand before him and give an account of that record that he has. Praise the Lord, he keeps good records. Amen. I thank the Lord he kept a good record when I got saved. Got that record one day this preacher got saved. So we need to understand where we go, what we think about, what we listen to. He said, number two, why are you so sad? This is, again, the first Easter Sunday morning preaching. Why are they sad? You know why? They had unbelief. It mentioned in the text, verses 1 through 3, that they thought it was just idle talk. They thought it was not insignificant. And it even mentions the word unbelief there. So they didn't really realize that what happened was actually happened. Their unbelief. Let me say that to you here this evening. Unbelief will siphon your life of all the joy that's in you. You believe everything this book says, and you practice everything it says, and God will bless you. But if you don't, and especially if you're here this evening and not saved, that unbelief, not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, will make your destiny separated from Him in a place called hell. Unbelief is not something to monkey around with. You need to believe what God says and thank the Lord for that. And then number 5, the conclusion of the trip. I didn't mention this, but when they reasoned together, I thank the Lord for this preacher. I really do. He's a good preacher. I mean, he gives you the word of God just like it is. He loves this book. He loves God. He loves his folks. He loves the church. He loves missions. What more could you want? My friends, you're in a good place in Fellowship Baptist Church. When my kids told me that they were going to Fellowship Baptist Church, Terry and Barb, I told my wife at that time, they listed some of the speakers that were going to be preaching, I think it was about a year ago. I says, man, now they're in a good church. Thank God, preacher. You're doing a good job. Don't come down, preacher. Just keep reasoning the scriptures out to us and help us as we go. But the conclusion of this trip, the Bible says they were going to go to Emmaus, 7.5 miles. They were going to get there. They were going to have a light supper, get some sleep. And then the next day, whatever. But in the time frame there, they constrained him. Jesus acted like he was going to go on farther. You know, Jesus won't stay where he's not wanted. These folks wanted it. They'd heard something from him that touched their heart. And later on, you see, it set the fire a-burning in their heart. Boy, we need more of that. We need some young people that just, their hearts get set on fire. Thank the Lord for some of these folks that came back from the Africa trip with their hearts on fire for the lost and the people there in that continent of Africa. Thank God we need to have our hearts set on fire in that way. But they constrained him. They compelled him. I don't know if they forced him or not, but that's a strong word, preacher. That means they could have really grabbed him by the hand, put him there. So they just sat down for a simple meal in a simple town, Emmaus, which had warm springs. But you know, the springs wasn't on their mind that night. They were thinking about Jesus. And I'm sure as he prayed over the meal, and as he conducted himself as they sat around the table, and when it came time to break the bread, and he gave it to them, the Bible says their eyes were open and they knew him. They were probably some of the ones in verses 1 through 12 there actually seen him. And so they recognized him, which means they had to have seen him in the past. Thank the Lord. Well, I hope you see him once in a while as you're going through the scriptures. I hope he burns in your heart as you're praying and asking God to help in your life. It says their eyes were open and they knew him. And immediately, the Bible says in verse number 31, he vanished out of their sight. And they said in verse 32, and let me just read this verse here. It said, and they said one to another in verse 32, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? You know, I say every time I sit over there, I say, Lord, speak to my heart today. I need it, preacher. We all do. And as you open up the Word of God and you reason the Scriptures out with us, thank God he's still in the business of helping. He's still in the business of helping with our troubles and our difficulties and the things that we have going in our life. There's no sleep now for these folks. They just traveled 7.5 miles. They couldn't sleep. So what do? They got up and they went back 7.5 miles more back to Jerusalem. Why? They wanted to tell others about what they saw.
Folks, we need to tell others. I wish I could do more. I got to the place in the church I was worshiping in, I couldn't climb the stairs anymore to get to the second apartments. And I thought to myself, I wish I could do that. God didn't let me do that. But I found someone, a younger pastor, that now is doing a great work there. And he's able to go to the second floor and reach those people on the second floor. Thank God. So we're here tonight. Let me just mention a couple of things. What's your conversation like? What do you spend it on? Number two, do you realize how near Jesus is to you? Sometimes we just need to spend a little more time. A little more time with him in reading the Bible. A little more time in prayer. A little more time at church. And God will hear and answer your prayers. Number three, don't let unbelief keep you from heaven, number one. And don't let unbelief keep you from getting the things God wants for each and every one of us in this room. God wants us to be sold out for him. I wish I had more energy, but I don't. That's just a fact of life. Dr. Thompson would probably attest to that fact also. But we can still preach a little bit. We can still witness a little bit. And thank God we can always be faithful. We can always read the Word of God. We can always be faithful in praying. Even though I don't know many of you in here and don't know your names especially, I want you to know I pray for the requests that are mentioned. And I want you to know in my little place that I'm in right now, I can faithfully pray for your prayer requests. I don't know everything about you, and I don't want to know. But I know someone that does. And I said, God, you help that person in that difficult situation they're having, and God will bless that. So let's not miss a moment in life where we could feel the power of God, sense the remedy of the life that he has for us, feel the heart burning within us as we read his precious word. And thank God, you're in a good church. It's a great, loving pastor. He cares for us. And preacher, just keep reasoning to us from the Word of God. I'm speaking for myself, and I hope for you also. I need it. Thank God for a preacher that preaches the Word of God in our church. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to be here tonight. Let me have a word of prayer. And then Pastor will take the service over. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful again, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to not miss the moments that you have for us in your word. I know life gets so complicated. Life gets so busy. But we can be so busy about the things of life that we miss those precious moments when he's so near to us, but we're so busy. We don't take time to read. We don't take time to pray. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us if they learn anything tonight, that the effectual door is open to us. Let's pray for our preacher and help us get a hot heart for serving you. And Lord, we'll thank and praise you for what you've given us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again, Pastor. It's my honor and privilege. Amen. Give my God. Can't see with them, I can't see without them. One of those things of getting old, huh? All right.
Good stuff.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, preacher. Right. You're a good man.
Lord, appreciate you. Good stuff. Amen.